Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom, welcome, welcome, happy, happy, happy. Breeze of tomorrow. They always said, you cannot do that. I believed them. I trusted them. How could I not? They fed me, kept me safe in a box and gave me a blanket. They kept me breathing in between drops of fear. Breathing just to stay above water. Here, you can have that. No, you cannot do that. Don't bother because you don't have the power. Surely not the talent. Oh, and you ain't funny. It took a lifetime in a minute to cross the gates. It took forever to feel the crossing. The walk through the rusty metal doors that were painted over and over and over. Aching through the lifting of my right foot and then the left, and the stickiness of the dried up soil on my feet. One foot is out, and then my fingers, clutching the hinges, feeling the breeze of tomorrow. I'm out. My whole self is out, and that box, of that box into vastness of sky, filled with its color. הריני מקבל על עצמי את מצוות עשה של ואהבת לרעך כמוך. I hereby accept on myself the due commandment of the utterance of love your neighbor, your friend, your gardener, and express love to them in the same way that you express love to yourself, starting with yourself. Hi everybody, welcome. I'm Ilan Azulay. This is Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. We have a wonderful show. And we'll start with just fun of doing chores. You know, sometimes when we get stuck in our daily procrastinations, sometimes doing things out of our mind, just doing physical things, can help. Like mopping the floor.
La 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 Special K knows only.
So there was Matty Caspi singing about Sponja. Matty Caspi is I don't know how to describe Matty. I mean, he's the king of music, in my opinion. But anyway, this is Sponja, and the reason I put that is sometimes we get things are happening in our daily interactions with people, and we get stuck in procrastination of what if, why, how, and sometimes to do things that are out of our mind, just physical things will move things further. Welcome. Today I have a wonderful guest that joins me every so often, Julie Bergman. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay.
Or good afternoon, actually.
Afternoon.
Sorry. And not only that, but now I will never mop the floor the same way again.
That's right.
So I thank you for that.
Yeah, well, Matty gave it a whole different look. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm good. I had a very good night's sleep.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yesterday was a... Well, yesterday was a busy evening, but we'll get to that later.
Okay.
Busy with the
show. Yes, I want to hear all about it.
About the show. And
Yeah.
You know, this is here what I wanted to share with you. Welcome, everybody. You are here. I want to give you the phone number here. Before I forget, it's really that simple. 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. Welcome to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay. I'm your host. I'm a spiritual mentor and a sound therapist for you who are ready to reclaim your power. And our words and our intention are powerful, so powerful. Dictate our ways. Dictate what we invite to our world, what we invite to our environment, what we invite to our lives. And how do we navigate that? And what I wanted to share today and to talk about today is obstacles. You know, we can look at them as, you know, obstacles are obstacles in the term that it's like driving on the road and then there is a rock in the road. So it's an obstacle and that straight path of road, right? And so we go and do things and we are on a certain path, or we are in a work environment, and people say things, and people are trying maybe sometimes to be an obstacle in your way for different reasons. You know, people do what they do because that's how they respond to certain situations. You know, so they are used to maybe throw fit or sabotage somebody's work or somebody sabotage something just because. How do we respond to that? You know, do we see that as, let me close this, do we see that as a as an obstacle, and that takes us to our dark spot where it's, oh, you know what, I'm not going to speak because I don't want to for that person to say anything, or how am I going to feel, or maybe that person is right, maybe I really don't have it, or maybe all these kind of things. How do we see that? And it's interesting also because of this week's portion of the Torah was talking about, it was really showing this great example that if something is destined for you, for us, for anybody, for me, something is destined here, by hook or by crook, it's going to happen, you know. And not just that, but moreover, that person who put an obstacle in your way will turn into a blessing for your journey. And the best example I could give from this week's portion is, we're talking about where Pharaoh, a new Pharaoh, there are different interpretations, whether it's the same Pharaoh or different Pharaoh, but for the sake of this thing, of this conversation, a new pharaoh came that did not recognize, did not remember Joseph, who because of Joseph, Egypt was saved and the entire world was saved from hunger, complete hunger. Excuse me. And they start enslaving the Israelites or the Hebrews, right? And Pharaoh ordered that so his wizards came to him and told him, today or soon they're going to be, the Jewish people savior is going to be born, and he has something to do with water. There is water involved in his rise to save the people. So he ordered all the male babies to be drowned in the Nile, in the Nile River, right? And of course, one baby is not being, and is being hidden for 3 months, and then his mother is taking Moses and putting him in the what do you call it?
Basket of reeds.
The basket, simple as that. The basket, and put him on the water. And Pharaoh's daughter finds the baby, decides to adopt him. No other mother, Egyptian mother, can. The baby doesn't want to drink milk from anybody else. So Moses' sister, who was there, she asks Batya, the daughter of Pharaoh, do you want me to go bring a Hebrew woman? Because after all, maybe there is something there going on. She goes, brings his mother. And she's getting paid for that. So Moses was brought up being fed by his mother, and his mother got paid for that. I mean, this is an example also. How is your experience in that? Did you experience any of that in your career as a filmmaker and a writer? Did you experience where somebody was putting an obstacle, and how did you respond to that? What was your experience?
Oh, absolutely.
And talk to the mic.
Absolutely, I did, as everybody did. And I think that, you know, it relates a lot to the first piece that you read, this beautiful piece that you wrote.
Thank you.
Because I do think it starts, just as the story that you just told about Moses and his mother, you know, everything starts probably before the womb, but let's just, for the sake of argument, say everything starts in the womb.
Yes.
And the experiences that I had as a young woman entering my working life, you know, all the baggage that you bring with you and all the blessings that you bring with you, right? Like everything, it's not one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember as a young woman in the first few years of my work, you know, everything somebody said to me that was a criticism, I absolutely believed it was true, and I took it to heart, and I agonized over it, and I spent, I think, much more energy than I do now, certainly, but then that was probably good for me to spend trying to fit into the box that they were asking me to fit into, thinking that somehow that was my learning curve, or I needed to be put through this misery in order to get to the other side. And I think we all, in our own ways, we do that.
So, yeah, that's true. In different stories. So basically, those sentences that people said and those criticism created thoughts and created these beliefs, right? Perception about yourself.
Or they reminded me of perceptions that had been said by other people in different ways. So it kind of was reinforcing
the trauma, like the trauma is coming up again, right?
Yeah.
So basically, when that trauma happened, when you recognize that, suddenly it made you feel the same. Did it make you feel the same feeling that you felt when you were experiencing the first trauma?
Absolutely.
And that affected your.
Hi, Sam. Hi.
And so we are joined. This is my other wonderful guest for today, Sam. Hi,
yes.
Sam.
Yes. Hi.
Wait, are you on the right one?
I'm on number three.
You are number three.
Yes.
There you go.
So
you're entering into just a moment of a serious conversation.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yes. I mean, he was talking about that. So finish the conversation.
Well, it is. It's great that you came, because I wanted to ask you about that as well.
Okay.
Sam, by the way, hello everybody.
Hi.
So Sam is the owner of the station.
Sam's the boss.
Well, I wanted to say friend first, but I guess he's first the owner.
Right, exactly. In this place, I'm a boss first.
He is the boss.
Then a friend. But thank you for inviting me. It's
absolutely
awesome.
It's fun.
And Julie's here too, so that's cool. And just my voice is a little cracky because I just got over a cold. But so I still been doing my show with half my voice not even coming out.
I think the mic is...
Your voice sounds good, actually.
No. It's not the mic, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I have to point the
mic. No, but I'm fine.
So we're talking about when throughout your career, you know,
right.
People say things to us, and many times we tend to believe them, like criticism, or people are trying to put obstacles in your way.
Right.
They're trying to... How do you respond to that? You know, I was talking about if something is here for you, if you are destined to receive something,
right,
you will get it by hook or by crook.
God will
make it happen, and if you deserve something, you'll get it. Like how many times?
Right. But what does it mean to deserve it, though?
When I mean
and it's
deserve,
not always a good thing.
I'm not meaning
probably right.
I don't mean deserve in the sense that you have to do something in order to deserve it.
I know.
Something that is destined for you. Something that, like for example, being in this radio station. You own this radio station, right?
Right.
Before you started, did you think that you'll own a radio station?
No.
Okay. So meaning that you didn't see the half empty or half full glass. You saw a whole glass, but you didn't see what you don't see yet.
Right.
So you didn't know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But opening the radio station, when you were doing it, and now do you feel that this is something that was here to do for you, or
like
it's
destined for me, like predetermined?
Not forever. It's just a part of what you have to do.
I don't know. You know, I mean, let me tell you how I think life goes. Life breaks into forks in the road, and so you go. You get to an intersection. Do I go here? Do I go there? So, you know, we're a result of all the decisions we made along those forks. So what I'm saying is the potential for it was there. The fact I could have chosen not to take that road.
That's right.
Because I was doing something else at the time. And the only reason I did the radio station is because I met someone at one of my clients, and he was talking about, you know, we were talking about blah, 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 internet radio. And I heard that, and I went, wait a minute, what's that? And he told me that he and his brother started something where people can do radio shows from home over the phone and things like that. That was 12 years ago. And I thought, gee, you know, I mean, that would be cool. And I thought, how am I going to get on their station since they're friends now, you know?
Mm.
And I thought, no, that's not what I want. I don't want to do a show on the phone. I want to have a radio studio. And if I don't need an antenna and a studio for it, or like a big station, let me try it myself. So I did. I bought some equipment, sat in my kitchen, put an ad in Craigslist for a co-host, got one to come over. We started practicing. Then immediately I went, got an office downtown. It was nice, it was beautiful, but it was very small. But we started there, you know, and that's how it all went. So
how was it?
The people around me constantly said, what are you doing? You know, I mean, you don't need to make it full time, keep on working. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, at this point, I can't work two jobs anymore. So I dedicated myself to this when it wasn't making money yet, you know. So
what moved you to dedicate yourself despite, or maybe it was because of all the discouragement?
No, because I really wanted to do it. I really wanted to have
it
a radio
burning
show.
In you. It was part of
Yeah, because, you know, for years I've been listening to Howard Stern, and I thought, God, I'd love to do that in the morning, you know, just be awesome. And I get to. I don't have a big band like he does, a group of people, but for the most part, we come in. It's a variety show. We either have guests.
Yeah.
You know, we don't talk politics. We used
no,
to.
No, you do sometimes talk politics. I was
once
on the show.
Only when you are on the show.
Why only with me? What did I do?
No, because maybe you wanted to.
I don't want to talk politics.
I don't know how we ended up there, though.
I don't know.
But let me tell you, over the years, I've had over 10 co-hosts. Over the years, the show has kind of stayed the same.
Maybe you should do a show with all of them in the studio with you
at
the same time.
Right, that would be cool, right.
That would be really cool.
But at any rate, so every time there was a different one, the show would take a different direction and so forth. But it was still the same show,
you know. Yeah.
And people always go, no matter what co-host, they always leave here, the guests, and they go, God, I like how you guys interact together. And, you know, the common denominator is me, you know. Mm-hmm. I make it happen, so I know how to choose them, too, and how to talk to them and treat them in the studio. So...
But, you know, sometimes what we were talking earlier, that people that sometimes are in work environment or they are, and they're trying to, you know, sabotage, that's because of their own things.
Right,
try to say things. Many times it turns into a blessing. It turns into that what they did or what they said is
was actually serving
you, actually serving
but
you.
But I think especially when you're in a creative environment, right, which this is.
Right.
Or you leave a job, for example, that maybe is more, I don't know, practical, let's say, to pursue something that is less of a sure thing.
Right.
I think it's important to go through the experience of somebody or a lot of people challenging you and saying, what are you, crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is, and I say, I've had this said to me over the years, and when I was younger, it used to make me roll my eyes, but I think it's really true. When you pursue something that's creative, you have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to do it, because it's really hard, and it's very process-oriented, and there aren't results. It's not like mopping a floor, which is the other reason why mopping a floor is such a great thing, because you start it, it's dirty, you finish it, it's clean. Done.
I play it, yeah.
Most of the time, you know, when you're a writer or when you run a radio station and you have hosts and you have other hosts that have other shows and all that, it's all about process. It's not really about results that mm-hmm. you can touch and feel on a daily basis. And so when people challenge you and they say, you can't do this, why are you doing this, you're crazy to do this, as you said before, it can strengthen your resolve. And mm-hmm. that is the important part of an obstacle, is to challenge you to see if you really have what it takes to go through the dark stuff.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the example of the weak portion we're talking about, the where Moses was taken out of the water,
uh-huh.
right, and was fed by eventually his mother that also got paid to do that.
Right, that they didn't know that
they didn't know that.
Yeah.
They just, you know, so it was like you wanted to kill. Pharaoh wanted to kill the firstborn, so the
right.
so Moses won't be the deliverer,
right.
And then it ended up that he's being raised in his house and getting
physically in life from your mother, so he knew that he needed his mother.
Well, but there are also many people that don't get that, but I guess that story.
No, but
is
in
really,
the story, he delivers Moses's mother back to him for
that
period of his life where he needed to have that.
Right.
Yeah. So these obstacles is like, you know.
Yeah. So obstacles are everywhere.
Especially
yeah.
in creative world, you know.
Right. And the thing is, I know. I mean, there's a lot of competition, and right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't pay a lot and stuff. People know that.
But competition. The whole thing with competition. You know, it says like, yeah, competition is good and it's great, but there is a competition and there is a competition, right? There is a different way of competition,
right. There's healthy competition.
But much of it today is toxic, you know, and how we talk to ourselves and how we talk to others in this kind of environment.
It depends. I mean, I'm pretty competitive, you know, so when I'm seeing other people succeed, it's like, I love it when they do, but if it's like a threat to me,
I get irritated,
you know?
What do you do about that?
Because I had somebody actually steal from us, like, ideas and the technology and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And to start his own station, you know? But never really became big or anything, but the bottom line is, I wanted him to fail. Hmm. You know, you do. You know.
That's when but you know, here's the thing. By him stealing whatever that is, that's of course has to be dealt with in certain ways. If dealt with, or
and
how
he broke trust, you know. I mean,
that's a whole big thing.
Yeah.
But the question is, did you feel throughout the process? Now, when you said you felt threatened, did you feel that you are less because of what happened? That you are not going to succeed now because he stole it, and it's like he's going to steal your clients, and you're going to crash. And did you go through that phase?
No, but well, you know, you think about it, but the thing is, I never believed that he would amount to much because he's not the original. You know, when people just copy from you, they have to keep copying from you because they don't have original bone in their body.
Well, this is the point. This is exactly the point. And I have a friend who, a very, very good friend, who went through a kind of exquisite example of what you're talking about, which is she started a business that she'd been thinking about for a long time. She's very talented. She'd been a businesswoman before this in a different business, so she understood all the different facets and the moving parts of running a business. It isn't just the kind of creative expression of whatever the thing is that you're trying to do. And one of her dearest, dearest friends who she had given the opportunity to work with her on this project, like, decided one day, I'm going to go do this by myself. And they'd been friends for 30 years. So her first instinct was the betrayal and the sense of, you know, how could you do this to me? And then she's, again, it was an obstacle. It was a challenge. She realized that this woman was going to do it however she was going to do it. And, you know, I think probably she felt like, I hope it doesn't work on some level. But on the other level, she understood that she had her own unique way of coming to it that was her expression of it.
And you don't have to worry about it.
And she stopped worrying about it, and her business went completely through the roof.
That's right.
And it might have gone through the roof anyway. It might have not needed that last bit of, you know, pain in order to get there. But that's just the way that it worked out. And now she, you know, nobody can touch her. She's completely in the stratosphere.
Yeah, you know, it's before, it's always before the full expansion. There is always the last really tough stretch.
Right.
The really tough stretch. It happened all, you know, we're looking at the parasha of the week. We're looking at life. There's always the last stretch that is like, we have to put the extra just before to get the...
That's true. It's
speaking of which,
yes,
transition,
yes,
you could talk a little bit about how all of this applies to this amazing experience that you've been having since September.
Oh. Yeah.
Where you stepped into a new arena for you. Actor.
Well,
a theater actor, no less.
A theater actor, no less. You know, he goes from the frying pan to the fire, right, basically. But it's been an interesting experience for you, right?
It's been a wonderful experience. Interesting for sure, if you think about it.
Yeah. Well, you got interesting and also, I think, a very unique opportunity you got there. Not everybody does. You know?
No, I'm blessed. I say thank you every day for everything that happens in life and everything that happened. Also, when it was difficult, I remember that I remember thinking this is for the good. I'm here to do something.
Right. And you know what I'm thinking now? This is a result of one night when I told him come down to this meeting. And he wasn't sure, right? Because you met the people through that party we went to.
About
with Siona, remember?
About the people of what?
That connected you to the show, no?
Was it there?
Yes.
Oh, it was there.
It was there. I remember.
I don't know if it happened there, but it's a person you met there.
It's a person I met there.
Right.
I see.
And that was all a result of a night when he wasn't sure he was going to go out. I told him, come on down. You don't know who
I remember that night. I remember that
night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there you go. So, you know, you never know, but it's all your decisions.
You see, but this is the thing. And this is the thing when we make choices. Our choices have consequences. They don't appear right away. You know, so we are making choices, right? And then we don't know how they're going to result.
Yeah, affect us down the road.
We don't know how it's going to evolve, where it's going to lead us, how it's going to take us. This whole thing with acting, and now it's the Jewish Hebrew stage theater. It's a Jewish Hebrew theater, and we are running now with a show called The State Comptroller. Mevaker HaMedina, and it's a comedy. It's in Theater West running this tonight and this coming week, and then we're going.
And by the way, I confess, I don't speak Hebrew.
Right, so I was wondering about.
And I've been to the show now twice. I'm going again tonight. Yes,
and what?
And
you just enjoy the body language.
You know what? It's kind of interesting if you don't speak the language. On one level, obviously, people are saying, "Okay, fine," but it's interesting because you can watch the interaction between the actors in a completely different way.
Yeah, right.
Than if you understand what they're saying. No, really. And it's saw a difference.
It's like you put the soundtrack to it.
You make your own movie.
But I can invent what I think they're saying to each other. But more importantly, I can see the behavior It's right. kind of like life. Like when you're in a two-way mirror sometimes and you're watching an interaction between people and you don't know what they're saying, but you right. see their body language and you see the way they're relating to each other. And that is another language.
Yeah.
That's separate from the
body language, I think. You know, is that what you're referring
yeah.
to?
Yeah, and also the comedy comes through, even if you don't understand
funny.
What they're saying.
It's like
yeah.
you're watching. It's like you're watching. It's like you sit and do people watching in a foreign country. You're just going for a trip. You know, right. you're just watching right. people. You know, you don't know. So it was. It's interesting. Yeah, so I guess through
so
that meaning.
Good. Yes, it's good that you're doing this because you picked the opportunity. You went. You were. Persistent about it.
Well, there were other opportunities in different areas that I chose not to right. not to pursue because I've learned is to see like what is the end goal, what is the end result that I desire, right? What is the end goal that I feel is to serve
right.
to serve the purpose and to serve the purpose of being here and to serve the purpose of helping and making and showing the gifts because we get gifts, right? And many times when people tell us what they tell us because this is who they are or how they see the world, it many times can discourage us. And it doesn't mean the discouragement doesn't mean that the person doesn't necessarily want it that bad. Because sometimes wanting something that bad is still limited and confined to the structure that we came up and grew up with.
Right.
You know, so maybe I may want to want something that bad, but the capacity of which I operated for many years was limited by that structure.
Right.
Until something punctured it. And then it went out.
But I also think true in this case is that you hadn't done anything quite like this before. But you do have certain innate talent for this kind of thing, you know, as a performer, as somebody, right?
But
I think one of the things that people learn when they start to work with their talent, now I'm going to sound like I'm 85 years old. Now I'm reminding myself of my dad. This is something my dad would say. Talent is not enough. You have to work hard.
Yeah.
And I think that when one is in a play or running a radio station and having to show up every day and be funny or interesting or whatever, you realize that, yes, you have to have the talent in order to be able to manifest it, but then you have to work really hard in
you
order
do,
to
you
do
have
it.
To have
you
have can't. The drive,
it's
know?
Like you would, you're
and
right.
And that's what I think this experience maybe
Definitely.
Gave you that you hadn't had in a while, which was,
right.
okay, my talent is here, but now I need to work at it.
Well, yes. And many things... I'm working on it, but it doesn't feel work because the word work in for many years is equaled to I don't want to be here. I want to go home.
Right.
But
work.
There must have been days when you didn't feel like being at rehearsal.
No. In rehearsals, everything that has to do with the theater, 100% like to be there every
really?
Second.
Does
yeah.
it bother you? You have to do it a million times.
No. I mean, look, it's because I understand that it's a part of the process. It's just
right.
like understanding that what we how we experience our life from age zero to whatever we live
right.
is one frame of the film. It's one frame of the film. Even our entire life is a frame of the bigger picture that is the journey because we are being here again on Earth and this is just part of the journey. It's a frame. So we don't see. And the same thing if we go even narrower, we don't see, like you said, your decisions about the radio, my coming to the party, meeting that person, was just a frame of something that we haven't seen yet.
Right. You know? So the results could happen down the road, like you started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could. Look, I've played in Israel. I've been on stage. I've been in groups. I performed for children. I did stand-up and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was in that capacity. It was really many years ago
right.
when I lived in Israel, and then in Boston, I was playing on stage, music and stuff like that. But not in a, and this really feels, and when I actually was in, I think it started when I was in one of the times that I was in Israel earlier. This year, I met a couple of friends. And that kind of and they're in the entertainment and in the entertainment industry and I played her song last week, you know, on it.
Okay.
And they kind of the bugs, the thing was kind of creeping in.
You know? Reintroduced it.
They reintroduced it, but not intentionally. Just they are who they are.
Right.
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 But at this point, I feel it was more mature on my side to come to this, especially now, right. Especially in this time, and not 10 years ago. Because it would go to a completely different place, right. 10 years ago,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So we're making the choices,
true.
You know.
Yeah. You never know. Look, I do believe that the way it works is this: the decision to do something is free will. Once you do that, though, there's no free will because the consequences are built in. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, again, yeah. You get to the fork on the road, you know, the results are already there, you know.
That's
you
right. That's right.
Which one you want,
exactly.
Right?
So it's everything is already there.
Right.
That which will be already happened.
Right. And you know, an example I like to do is talk about sticking your finger in the socket because you can choose whether to put your finger there or not. You can't choose whether you get electrocuted if you do.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. That's absolutely right. So it's like you go, like you have those drawings with a maze. You have several entrances going into a maze,
right.
And something will lead somewhere, right? But this is exactly what I'm saying. Well, we've been talking, but for some reason in the past, you've been arguing with me about that.
Really?
Yeah.
About the same thing?
About the same thing.
Really?
I was like, listen.
How is that possible?
Because, look, we evolve, you know? We evolve, and maybe we understand. I don't know, maybe we understand.
No, that's the way I've looked at life for a long time.
Because I remember we were talking, sitting at your house, and I'm saying, listen, yeah, you have the choice to make this, you have the choice to make that. That is our...
Right.
But everything is already there. Whatever you go here, if I want to go to the right is going to Jerusalem, you know?
Right.
You're going to get
it's
there.
It's been there and it's going to stay there.
And you have things along the way that may even take you and sway you even away from the Jerusalem to like Jericho.
Right. Right.
You know?
So
you are in that direction. You know, it's like you are going up a tree. That's your goal. And then you have leaves. You have branches.
Right,
and you can
choose which one you want.
Well, if you're not sticking to the tree,
right.
And you go on a branch and you build yourself a city on the branch, but then the city is still on a branch, it can fall.
But then on a branch, there's growth of two more branches and two more branches, and that's all the different options that you have in life if you're taking a certain road.
And I think it's important to take the branches and not climb straight up the tree to the top from the beginning.
It's interesting.
I do, because I think that otherwise you don't have the perspective for when you get up to the top, hopefully, whatever that is for people. Doesn't mean the top of a success ladder or anything like that. I'm not making some kind of like statement that you have to be the best at everything. You don't. But whatever you're trying to see, eventually you want to get to the place where you can see as much of the landscape as possible, but you can't really appreciate it if you haven't taken some detours along the way.
True.
It's like
you need to be able to compare it to something too, you know.
You don't have to
know that
to compare
that you have something good as opposed to something that
you need to fall off a couple branches.
You know, you want to talk about overcoming adversity and it being the best thing ever is my friends from Paradise, California, who lost everything in the fire last year. They lost everything. Today they're living very nicely. They're looking probably a few $1 million in settlement for all the losses and everything. They ran the business from home and stuff. So, and they're 7 people.
Wow.
You know, so they're going to have more money than they ever would have otherwise.
Yeah.
So
sometimes we don't see that what happens is not happening to us, because although it may be very excruciating and difficult and painful.
Right.
But there is a reason for that. You know, this is what also when people suffer, like people that are about to die, you know, and they're suffering through their death. You know, there is a noetic understanding that the suffering really is on the physical level, really is purifying your soul on your soul level, which is what we are experiencing here is helping us grow spiritually.
Right.
You know. So
absolutely. Probably in every other way too, you know. I mean, because this is like physically and materialistically too. But the bottom line is that sometimes something adverse happens to you and you don't know why, you think it's being done to you. Like
that's right.
Said.
That's right.
You know, and like the world is against you and God is against you and all that.
No, it's for
but
them.
It could actually be a good thing. You just are not seeing it yet.
I think that, you know, the bigger experiences that people go through in their lives, and you've had some of those this year, you know, the passing of a parent is a big one.
Yes.
You've had a really big year this year where in some interesting ways, I think your father was a blessing in those last 6 or 8 months to you in so many ways
was,
that maybe
yes.
you can't even articulate yet.
No, I don't have I don't have everything to experience to embody the entire experience. I'm still going through that, and it's like, you know, it goes in pockets. You know, it's in and out.
Right.
And it comes in different ways, and it manifests in different understandings and different experiences and different breakthroughs. Like, I believe that part of that contributed to everything moving into it. It's like something got unstuck, you know?
Right.
In a certain way.
And in some ways, if you hadn't been in Israel so much this year,
yeah,
you might not have had the experience with those artists that you ended up having.
Exactly. Yeah,
because you happened to be in Tel Aviv more often than you usually are. Just like if you hadn't gone to the party with Sam that night, you wouldn't have necessarily had the connection to these people that connected you to be in the show. Mm-hmm. So this is a good example of exactly what you said at the beginning of the hour, which is that, you know, we have these experiences that look like obstacles. They are obstacles, literally.
Mm-hmm.
But then on some level, they become the delivery system for whatever next place is that we're supposed to go.
That's right.
According to however you look at it, yourself, someone else, destiny, you know, there's all sorts of ways to look at it. But you kind of had a microcosm of everything this year, it seems like.
It's been like that. It's been very
busy,
very dense.
For you. Yeah.
Dense. It's good. It's all
well,
good.
See, I think 2020 is going to be a lot of transition.
A lot of things are happening. Yeah.
No, so, really?
You know? Yeah.
I feel like everything's just really smooth sailing.
Yeah.
And there's no controversy in the world. And
no, but
I'm being sarcastic,
not
by the
world, but for you. I mean,
no, a lot of things are happening.
No, a lot is happening. I think we are in transition.
There's a lot of manifestation this year. There's a lot of things that are manifesting.
Probably. It's around year. For me, I was born in 1960, so every 10 years. Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
So every 10 years, it's like a complete year when you separate it. So now you know it's 60. And entering 60.
What year is it? Do you know the Chinese astrology?
The rat.
Are you a rat?
This year is the rat as well.
Oh, you're a rat here.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Do you know what you are?
Obviously, I'm a rat.
And it probably changes every 12.
Sorry. That wasn't very nice of me. I should have paused. I should have thought for a minute.
No, okay.
Sorry.
So two rats and a monkey.
It makes sense it would be the rat, because if you have 12 months in a year, right?
Yes.
Then it means every 12 months or 12 years, it's going to come up, right? 12 years. So we've had...
Well, I just didn't want to do the math.
We've done five decades, and that's 60 years.
Well, that's because you've done the math already.
Yeah.
I didn't want to sit now and do the math.
I
can't do math.
Well,
so
that's why I'm here. What's going on? Oh, we still have some time.
Yeah, we still have some time. So
let's talk about happier things.
Yeah, let's talk about... Everything is happy. It's not dense.
No, that's
it's
true.
Just a little dense.
But I wanted to talk about the show.
Let's do that.
Right?
Let's do that.
I was trying to do that.
Yeah. They had a few good characters and stuff.
So what did you like?
But I liked yours. I thought...
Well, I mean...
No, really. But, I mean, you stood out in the fact that you went far from your regular mannerism. So you really acted it, you know. A lot of the people maybe played somebody else, but they played them as them. They were talking
the
same.
It's not a character.
They talk the same as they always do. They behave the same way they always do. And you actually got into the character, and you talk like somebody totally different from who you are. And that's what I'm saying. That's a good actor.
Mm. Well, you know? Thank you. Thank God and thank you. But I think there is much in me in there because this is where I come from.
No, I understand that. I know.
So that's why it's so...
The Moroccan and everything.
The Moroccan, yeah. I wanted to do a Moroccan French, but I didn't
It wasn't hard for you, but for somebody else, it would have been very hard.
No, it was difficult. It was challenging. I'll tell you where. Because I remember the second show, after the second show or the... the second show, I start going hoarse, my voice.
Oh, okay.
Right? Which means that I wasn't using properly the way to omit a voice, and in a matter of for singing or acting, right? Which is using my stomach, using my belly and my muscles, and really the breathing from the belly and the core.
Right.
And in the last, and since then, in the last show, and especially yesterday, and I really felt that, and I felt I felt the difference and the effect, and also the work itself. Because think about it, for me at least as I experience it, it's like when you talk, right, and you're using your belly, it's like contracting your belly to have like you're doing push-ups, not right. push-ups, sit-ups, constantly.
I see.
When you're talking, right? Because you have to everything from here, and you're pulling, and you're.
When you have to talk a lot,
so you have to do it, and the breathing and the pace of the breathing. So the pace of the breathing for the,
So they teach you all that when you do the show?
Well, not really.
You have to know it already.
No, you learn it. I mean, but there is. It's being taught by Motis and Ori. It's being taught as an extra because they want to help, but it's but in the big picture that we're working on the show,
right?
But everybody who needs help in diction and opening a mouth and really working with us, there is a lot of help
That's
from
right.
one another.
Yeah.
There is people that are helping. They want to do this. They want they're contributing. Everybody brings their talents aside from doing the show. I really want to say this is a wonderful cast. It's been a blessing to be in this. And this group with Ori and Motis, she's the director and the co-founder of the Jewish
and
Hebrew Theater.
And for all the Israelis that are watching this, go and check it out. Although I'll bet you by now everybody knows about it.
Well, you know what? I met Israelis yesterday that didn't know about that.
Really?
Yeah.
So they should hurry up.
And so I gave them flyers.
They're not connected.
But they've been selling out. I mean, the truth is that they've had every performance sold out since they started, which means people are talking about it and telling their friends to go, which is great.
And you should be proud to be part of that.
It's grateful. It's a proud is not, but I'm happy to be part of it, and I'm really grateful, to God and to everybody who is part of this journey at every point.
Yeah,
especially
and nobody
those.
Nobody can take it away from you.
There's nothing. This is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. In a world like this, in stage, and I've experienced it in the past, and all kinds of situations where people may feel insecure, right? And when you said when I feel threatened, you're talking about your radio program,
right?
But there are people that feel threatened by other people, especially on stage, and especially on in this kind of environment, which is a very person eating person there, for a lot
dog eat dog,
a dog eat dog, so we try to overcome or to make something that may try to take away from you by saying things or by being negative or by shouting or by blah blah. But if you know that this is for you and you feel good about this,
then
it,
you're
it
secure,
doesn't matter.
It doesn't
matter.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter, and it can always and that will and because it doesn't matter, it also doesn't affect the way that we respond, the way that we respond to the other person.
Right.
So. Yeah. So it's been quite
a journey.
So I'll say it because you may forget to. There are going to still be 4 more performances of this show.
Well, right? We have
there's one
tonight,
then Thursday night,
Saturday,
and Sunday.
So that's after
that's
a week already that you've done.
After we've done already 5 performances.
Right.
Yesterday we had another one, the 5th one, and we're going to. We may have more in LA. I don't know.
But as of right now,
but I don't
a
know.
Week from tonight is closing night.
A week from tonight is closing night. at Theater West in 3333 Cahuenga in Studio City. And then we may go on the road. There are places that are interesting, but I don't want to say, it's not my place to say that.
Right.
But Ori Dinur is the director and the producer, and Moti right. Suisa is the co-director, and he's also directing, and he designed the set.
And yeah. one of the actors.
And too. He's the main actor. He's the main character.
Is that the mayor?
He's one of the main characters. He's the guy. He's the imposter.
Oh, okay.
With the
beard.
Yeah, and he has a ponytail.
So okay. Right.
The one who takes off.
He takes his wig off.
I shouldn't say that. Okay. He likes to reveal that.
He likes to.
He's
got a
wig.
Sorry,
Monty. No.
Okay.
La la la. You didn't hear that.
Elon, we gotta go because I know there's a show coming next, right?
Yes. So today was.
I need to teach him to finish on time. So.
Well, I do finish on time, but you kind of distracted me.
Okay.
So, right. Well, it is wonderful to have you, Julie and Sam. Thanks for coming. It's wonderful
thanks
to all the time sit
me.
With you in different kind of situations. Yeah. Thank you for being here. Creating what we speak is really creating our life, our future. How are we choosing and what are we saying to manifest? Thank you. Have a wonderful week, and see you soon. See you next week. Litot.
Bye.
Bye.
Music?
Yes.
Where is it?
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Elon Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.